welcome to episode 83 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Sandy, and this week, I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth and Robin. Way back in episode 4, we talked about Universal Studios in Orlando and what was new back then. Well, the great thing about theme parks in Central Florida is that they're always changing and adding new things. Plus, episode 4, really? That was that long ago?
That was a really long time ago.
I'm sure we've mentioned Universal since then, but we would be remiss if we didn't revisit from time to time. Luckily, Robin and Elizabeth have recently made trips there separately, so we can brush up on all things Potter and Transformers and Springfield, and just in time for your summer planning. So let's get started. So, I know, Elizabeth, you were there for your family, with your family, and Robin, you were there for work. So, let me jump over to Robin first, because was this the first time you'd been there?
No, this was the second time I went with my family. It was a few months before Diagon Alley opened.
Okay. So talk a little bit about that. How's that different? Because that's one of the big things.
Oh my gosh. Diagon Alley is amazing. I mean, we had thought that the other part was amazing. It's just, it's great. And taking the train, you need to take it both ways because there's a different scene outside than there one way versus going the other way.
Yeah, I think that was one of the smartest things Universal did was making, because you have to buy the park to park.
Oh, it's like, it's marketing genius.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta get that upgraded ticket and buy the park to park. And yeah, because you don't want to miss, everything. That's awesome. So did you, do you ride crazy rides like that? Did you ride the rides over in?
I rode some of them.
Okay.
Did you ride any of the Harry Potter stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
The only one that I did not ride, I had ridden already, in the older part. There was, they weren't bringing us on it that day. And when we went back the next day, we didn't go on it. Oh my gosh.
Was it the,
Forbidden Journey?
Yes.
Yeah. Now that's the one that makes people sick.
Yeah, that is a rough one. Yeah. That is a rough one.
So I didn't mind not going on that one. Actually, no, that one I sat out.
Okay.
It was a different one that we decided not to go on because there was just no room.
There's a couple of roller coasters over there that are kind of repurposed.
Yeah, there's the Hippogriff, which is the kiddie coaster, and then the I always call it the Dueling Dragons because that's what it used to be called. I think it's called Dragon Challenge now.
Yeah, it's a Dragon Challenge.
Yeah, and that one's actually pretty rough too.
Yeah, that one was one that when I got on it, I was like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Because you kind of dangle. It's one of those dangly ones. Right?
Yeah. I actually told my kids that I was too big to fit in the seats, which is actually not true. I totally, they didn't. When you say something like that, nobody questions you. so it's a good little trick. Yeah.
So that we didn't go on that one.
So one of the things that I would like to mention about this, though, is it's still worth it to go through the line, to go through the castle and to go through Gringotts Bank because phenomenal. Their theming is so good.
Yes. And I actually think that's part of the reason they don't have express pass, permits for that. You know, those are two rides where there is no express pass. So if you want to do it without a line, you need to do it very early in the morning. And part of that I think is because the line is part of the queue is part of the experience. That said, you can do the single, if you really do not want to wait in the line or if you've experienced Forbidden Journey before, you can do the single rider line. That's my favorite tip. I just totally gave away for free. But, you know, the single.
And then the other tip that I have is something similar on the same lines, whereas if your family is going on it and you don't want to go on it, but you want to go through the queue, you can go through the queue and let them know that you don't want to go on it. Mm-hmm. They'll bring you to the child swap area. And you can sit there and wait for your family.
And they're showing Harry Potter movies.
I want to tell you that knowing that has made just opens things up for me because there are some rides, I'll tell my family, I'll go on every ride once. Well, most rides once. So the next time I might want to go through the queue, but I don't want to go through the ride. And knowing this, I don't have to sit there holding everyone's bags outside.
Right. Yeah, because the queues are really an attraction in and of themselves. Mm-hmm. They're really good. If you're a Harry Potter fan, you need to get down there, because even the whole, like, the shopping, the, it's the shop with the brothers that are jokesters, the prank show.
Weasleys.
Weasleys.
Yeah. Weasleys. What is it
called? I mean, how cool is that? Yeah. And then the wands, because you bought wands,
Ollivander.
Right?
Yeah, we actually, when we went this last time, we did the production at Ollivander's, and there was a young man in our party who actually didn't know the movies very well, but he did not have a wand. Everybody else in the party did have a wand. And it just so happened he got picked from the audience to have a wand selected for him. So, and that's actually a really, that's a great little show. I mean, you know, it's an improvisational actor, and it's just, it's really, really well done. And what a treat to have a wand selected for you.
Yeah.
So it is the theming of it is extraordinary. And I think I said this in episode 4, and I think we actually did another episode on it after we came back from a conference one time, but maybe, but
we also talked about what's new.
So, but I will say, Diagon Alley to me is, you know, it is walking into a movie, but more importantly for me, it's walking into a book. I mean, that is the ability to walk into a book that you love and basically see it all come to light, especially a book that you know can't ever really be. And to actually walk around and see it is extraordinary. And my son, who is now 10, just finished reading the books, and he completely geeked out. I mean, it was.
I can't get my kids to read them.
Well, I don't know what started him. I think it was a peer pressure thing. But now he's rereading them.
I mean, my oldest is an avid reader, and he got to the fourth one, which is the one where one of the kids dies, and he stopped. Which is funny, because he reads like Jim Butcher and stuff, you know, like, I don't know. Maybe he just was too old when he, yeah, maybe. I mean, I read them as an adult, obviously, because they weren't written until I was an adult, but yeah, he never got into them, and my other kids don't have an interest in them. I wish they did, but, I mean, I would take them there if they did, but they just.
Danny's reading them for the second or third time. Alex has only read the first three, but she loves the movies. And they can't wait to go. They were so upset that I went there without them.
See, that's part of the thing that I get off the hook for, that, because they don't care about Harry Potter stuff, even though there's other stuff. So, yeah, so my kids, you know, they're not into Harry Potter, but I think if they realized the other stuff that Universal had to offer, they might be a little upset that I had never taken them. Because they are into Springfield, they are into Minions, that, you know, so... let's talk a little bit about some of the other stuff they have to offer.
Well, I think let's talk a little bit about the age for the park, and that we can get into that, because I think that's a lot of people think, oh, I need to wait till my kids are older to take them. And that's sort of true. If you have a split family, though, if your kids are born pretty far apart, it's actually great to take them to Universal and to Disney, because, you know, the teenager maybe might enjoy Universal a little bit more. And I have several clients where this has happened, where they basically went to Universal for the teenager and then Disney. Not that Disney isn't great for teenagers, but if they love thrill rides, if they love, you know, action packed, and if they love movies, then that's where Universal is going to tie in. And even my husband, who is not a huge Disney fan, is a big Universal. He enjoys the Universal theme parks because he likes movies so much.
And he likes the superheroes.
And he likes superheroes. And he does not like thrill rides, incidentally, but he does like that park a lot more.
Yeah. So one thing I noticed about Universal is they have a lot of the simulator type things. Mm-hmm. And even the rides that move through the ride are still kind of simulator and jump around and stuff. So, I have my youngest son is kind of not nervous. He actually rode all the roller coasters at Disney last time we were there, but he's kind of hesitant about rides. And so if I tell him it's like Star Tours, or, you know, like something like I can relate it to something, he'll be a lot more likely. So I think my kids are getting to an age where I think they would really like it.
But. So Robin, when you, for your, how you like thrill rides on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being I hate thrill rides and will not ride anything, and 10 being give me the wackiest roller coaster out there. Where are you on that scale?
6.
Okay. And so how do you like Universal as far as rides go?
I like it. I went on a few rides when I was there for work that I didn't go on with my family. because it was sort of, you know, that peer pressure. Everyone's going on.
Yeah.
And they weren't as bad as I thought they were.
Yeah.
So it was it was funny because I was like, oh my God, my family would be like so upset that I didn't go on it with them. And so they weren't as bad as I was expecting them to be. I love the fact that Universal, for a lot of the rides, they have lockers that are free to use for the ride. Because I always have a backpack with me. And I really like that they do that so that I don't have to worry about my bag flying. And
See, I thought there were some that they had that for that they didn't necessarily need it. You know, like the Men in Black one, I felt like you could have just put your bag in a little pocket in front of you or something.
Yeah, I don't really know why you have it on there. Although I guess you can get really spinny on that one. But I don't know, actually. That is odd. And the Simpsons ride is nice because you can just sort of put it beside you. You know, because it's a motion simulator, you just basically sit it on the ground beside you.
So let's talk for a second about, you mentioned the Express Pass. So tell us what that is.
I love the Express Pass. It is the way a Fast Pass should work, in my opinion. Sorry, Disney.
For those people who want to pay a little more.
I mean, it costs more unless you stay on property at one of the resorts there. And honestly, it can make a deluxe resort
affordable
for you, because if you have a large family, then suddenly instead of buying these, now of course you can do it without the Unlimited Express Pass. In fact, we purchased the Unlimited Express Pass. We were off site this time. We purchased the Unlimited Express Pass because we knew that there would be some crowds, and we ended up not using it. We used it, but we used it as a regular Fast Pass. There's an Express Pass, which basically lets you ride every Express Pass ride once in a day. And the Unlimited Express Pass lets you ride any ride that you want to as many times as you want. So if you wanted to ride Spider-Man 80 times in a row, you could do that. Well, we were only there 2 days, and the first day it rained. So all the crowds that we were expecting did not show up. And so we could walk on about just about everything. We still used our Express Pass because we paid for it, and gosh darn it, we're going to use it.
Right.
But we didn't have to. And then because we wanted to do everything, we ended up not really riding anything twice. So that was a mistake. And I'm glad I made that mistake, because I think now had I stayed on property, that wouldn't have cost me an arm and a leg. It would have been less expensive.
So you bought it for both days?
I did, yeah.
Okay. So we should mention there's some rules to how they do it. And the reason is because they limit the amount that they sell. And that's also the reason that Cabana Bay and the Sapphire Falls don't come with the Express Pass. So it's only their deluxe resorts. But so talk about the differences there a little bit.
Well, it's priced seasonally, right? So when it's busier, it costs more. It's a supply and demand kind of thing. So if you go in the summer, you know, an Express Pass might cost $80, or if you go in February, it's going to cost $25.
And the price is based on the first day that you go. So if you're going, let's say, a Saturday and a Monday, you're going to pay more for that because weekends are busier. Mm-hmm. If you're using it on a Monday and Tuesday, it's going to be less expensive.
So if I have a 2-day ticket and I want to buy an Express Pass for one day,
Unlimited Express Pass, it's your whole ticket. You can buy an Express Pass for one day.
Which is like a Fast Pass.
Yeah.
Where you get to ride one time.
Yeah, one time on everything. Yeah.
Okay.
So yes, in that case, yes, you could buy it because it's actually, it's separate. It's separate from your ticket.
Right.
Actually, the Unlimited Express Pass is too, but technically. Okay. But yeah, when you purchase it, you're purchasing it for the whole time. So what we did to make it as inexpensive as possible, it was still expensive, was we had 4 days that we were going to be in Central Florida. So we priced it, if we bought it on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, and Wednesday was the cheapest day for us to buy it. Mm-hmm. And as long as you use it, you have to use it on Wednesday, on the day that you purchased it for, and then you have 14 days to use the other one.
Okay.
The other day.
So good to know.
Yeah. Another free tip from your travel agent.
So, but you know, like you were saying, if you stay on the property, you get, it's unlimited, right?
Yes.
It's not the limited one. It's the unlimited one in the deluxe resorts.
Automatically.
Yes.
I recently priced Cabana Bay for a client, and it was her and her daughter. And I said to her, let me price Royal Pacific because she wanted the Unlimited Express Pass. And it was $200 more. And I said, you know, if you had 4 people, it would not have been $200 more. Mm-hmm. It would have been probably much, much closer.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So if you have a family of 4, especially with older kids, you're probably it's going to be worth it for you to stay at Royal Pacific and not have to purchase the Express Pass since it comes with it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so there's another perk for staying on property at all the resorts. Do you want to talk about that?
You want to talk about that one?
That is the 1 hour early admission to one of the Harry Potter lands. And there's actually other things that are open, but that's what their main
Starbucks, for example.
And you have to look and check because different days, different ones are open. Different the two Harry Potter, you have to look and see which day. And I did find something very interesting out. And this is another free tip from your travel agent. There are 70% of the rides at Universal Studios are indoors. So if you were there, when you go there, and it's a warm day, and you should go to Islands Adventure in the morning, then take the Hogwarts Express to Universal and enjoy the inside rides in the afternoon when it's warmer.
Mm-hmm. Good tip. It is a good tip. Although, I will say, all the water rides are at Islands of Adventure. So if you want to get soaked and then leave the park,
right,
come back to Islands of Adventure.
Yeah.
And Universal's water rides are not playing. Let me tell you what. You will walk out wet.
So you want the locker.
You want to change your clothes. They actually have these for $5. They have these people dryers.
Oh, I've seen that.
And we fit five people into it. Yes, exactly. Because you are just soaking wet. It is no joke. You are wet. You dump water.
So play in your shoes that day.
Yes, that's also very important. We have lots of squishy shoes.
So what's new? What is coming this year?
So Sapphire Falls is coming this year, which is the new resort, and it is considered a lower cost resort. It is nice, a little bit more expensive than Cabana Bay. I won't say nicer,
yes,
but it is more expensive. However, it still does not come with the unlimited express pass that the deluxes do. So it is less than that. However, if you want that unlimited express pass, then again, you might want to upgrade. It looks beautiful. It's not, I think it's just about to open, right?
I think July. They did not give us, they did not let us go in it. It wasn't ready for.
Did you drive by it at least? Did you see it?
Yes. We drove by it. It looks really cool. We also found out that they're building two new towers at Cabana Bay. Two new towers? I know they're building at least one new tower at Cabana Bay.
Wow.
And they're building another tower at World Pacific that's going to overlook Volcano Bay, which is going to be the water park that's going to be opening next year.
Good segue, Robin. Yeah, and that it looks like it's going to be fantastic. They're basically tearing down the old water park. They're still in the process of tearing it down.
Mm-hmm.
And
actually, it's not in the same place.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Universal bought more land. They are still, they're closing what's called Wet n Wild end of December. They told us that they're not sure what they're using that for yet. So they will be using it. We don't know yet what for. They had bought up this land a few years ago where they built up Cabana Bay and then Sapphire Falls and now Volcano Bay. And it's all those are considered on property. So there's going to be transportation within all of the hotels to get to all of the parks.
So when I drove past Volcano Bay several times and I saw slides there, those were actually going up then.
Yes.
Oh, I thought they were coming down. See?
No, Wet n Wild is still open.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
So whenever you went, Elizabeth, you said you saw some information on the new Kong track?
I didn't see information. I saw it.
The construction?
Yes. Yeah. And you know, honestly, I've been a theme park geek for a long time and I know lots of people who hold their cameras up and take pictures because they want to see what it looks like on the other side of the fence. I never do that, except I did it here. It looked so, so cool. And it was just far bigger and more expansive than I thought it was going to be. I still really can't tell what the ride's going to be like. My understanding is it is a coaster, right?
Yeah.
Isn't there water involved too?
Probably. And you know, I don't know if you guys ever did this, but years and years ago, a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, I rode the King Kong ride at Universal Studios Hollywood with the big monkey that like grabs the train. You've seen pictures of it, I know.
Yes.
I'm trying. I mean, I went in like 1995 or 96. Yeah, I don't remember if I rode it.
This is before that.
I know I rode the Jaws thing. Oh, yeah. It was very we're taking the Batwalk tour.
Didn't they have one at Orlando also when it first opened?
I do not know that, actually. I don't know.
I thought they had one, because I went to Universal Orlando in 1993, and I think they opened in 91 or 92.
Yeah, it was early days.
And I think there was a King Kong ride then, and then they closed it a few years later, and it became like two or three different rides. Then it became something else, and then something else, and something else, and then now it's becoming King Kong again.
So that was before the recent movie, though, where they had, like, the dinosaurs and Jack Black was in the movie. I mean, it's not super recent, but more recent than the 90s.
Yeah. And this is definitely very, very new. And, you know, they promised it was going to be a much broader scope and that it was going to be really impressive. And I didn't really doubt that because Universal hasn't really messed anything up so far.
Yeah.
But just what they've built as far as the atmosphere, the landscape, and it's right there near Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. Which also, I didn't think about how appropriate it was, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, duh. Now that I say it out loud, how could I not realize that? But
makes sense.
But it blends right in, and it feels like you're walking by it forever. It's really big.
Yeah.
And it looks super, super cool. The sign is already up.
Now it's opening in summer, right?
Yeah, it's actually, I mean, like any day now. I think June is the goal, but awesome. They haven't given us an official date, I don't think.
So, Robin, did they talk to you? I'm sure they probably went over this, but they offer a dining plan. Did they?
Yes.
Can you kind of talk about that? Because I don't really know that much about their dining plan.
Okay. They have, similar to Disney, they have two dining plans. There's a quick service and a regular, but different than Disney, where you have to have it for the whole time. You can decide when you want it. You can get it for one day. You can get it for 2 days. Not everyone has to get it.
Wow.
They have a quick service and a regular dining plan. You can get the quick service even if you're staying off property. Hmm. You can also get the quick service with a refillable mug or refillable bottle that you can bring anywhere in the park during the time that you have the dining plan. It's much more flexible than Disney's, and depending on where you're going, it can really be worth it.
So good. Yeah. So it's something I don't think people realize a lot of the stuff that a lot of the options you have.
Yeah.
When you get.
Well, and I noticed when we did breakfast at Three Broomsticks and at Leaky Cauldron, they really pushed it on us. We didn't have it already. And they're like, well, if you're having breakfast here, then all you need to do is spend this much more money to make it worthwhile.
See, exactly.
So and I think that it's key with restaurants to go to, because then there'll be other times where I've used it where it did not pay for itself. It really does depend on what you're going to eat. The breakfasts at those two places, totally worth it because the atmosphere and everything are more expensive.
But you could get it for one day, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
it's basically a little car.
So if you have someone who's a picky eater and you don't think that they're going to use it, they don't have to get it.
See, that's very flexible.
It's also not tied to your name. So if you could have a card and use it for various members of your family. So the card has the credits on it. We had four cards because there were four of us in the family, but two of the cards we ended up not using snack credits on. So at the end of the day, the two who had already used snack credits wanted to use snack credits, so they just used them, you know, which of course is very similar to Disney. They're not tracking who's using it necessarily.
Right.
But you can just maybe buy two and then pay out of pocket for your cheaper meals if you want to be very mathy on your trip.
And it works at City Walk too, right?
Some of the places.
They're trying to get it into more, but a lot of those places are independently owned and operated, which Disney's run into this problem as well, where when it's some other owner coming in, it takes a long time to get them to sort of buy into the Disney dining plan.
So Robin,
their quick service, I'm sorry to interrupt, their quick service is only one quick service meal. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted it for two meals, you could buy it for another day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have to kind of do the math.
Mm-hmm.
Which your agent can help you with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. So you did something else that I'm really jealous of, Robin, at City Walk.
We saw Blue Man Group.
This was probably the night you were out till like 11, right? Was this your late night?
We were out till 11 both nights.
Oh.
but that night, it was amazing. I had never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I had heard about it. I was just blown away. The show is just great. And the fact that they do this every night just amazed me. The energy was just.
Did you guys ever watch Arrested Development? Do you know that show? It's like, you know, it's an old show, but there was one of the characters was an understudy for Blue Man Group. So he'd walk around the house with all his blue paint on and his like shorts, and he'd leave like blue handprints around the house.
Actually, I always wondered why, like, as many people do Blue Man Group around the world, how have I never run into somebody with sort of a blue tinge?
Yeah, really?
At some point, that's got to sort of...
Oh, you theater geeks. Yeah.
I can't imagine how that... And, you know, it's all up to their eyeballs, and yeah. It's
just, and so, they don't talk at all.
No.
Yeah.
It's just all music and...
Expression.
And gestures and expression. I mean, the expressions are just amazing. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So, but they also have more of a nightclub scene, right? I know Disney Springs is trying to kind of bring that back, but, that's kind of the place to go if you want to be out.
Well, and Disney Springs, I think, is actually still, they're trying to keep it very family friendly. What happened with their nightclub scene, it became very much locals and it turned into basically a downtown, which they didn't really want. And, City Walk, on the other hand, has sort of embraced it, and they have ways to control it. It's going to be a little bit more of a, like, I would not go there New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Some of you might want to do that. Yeah, I mean, that might be the place to be for some people, but for me, no. But, yeah, it's cool. And, I mean, they have a bar where you can do live karaoke, meaning they have a live band that you can sing with. And so, yeah, I mean, big, and there's a Margaritaville there, and there's a Irish
Patty O'Brien's
kind of place. There's a cowfish, yes. Yeah. Little North Carolina thing.
Oh, we went to cowfish.
Did you like cowfish, Robin?
I ate a burger.
Their burgers are good.
No burgushi for good. Yeah.
And then if you want a pretzel as big as your head, you go to the NBC Grill and Brew.
Nice.
Yeah, that's new, actually. That used to be the NASCAR place. And I sort of walked longingly by it because it looked like they might have a good beer list, but... I wasn't with beer drinkers.
You didn't have all your people with you?
Beer people with me.
See, that's what I'm telling you. You got to pick your...
Yes. Uh-huh.
Hint heard. Who do you want to go with? So when we're comparing to the neighbor down the street, why would you pick Universal? It sounds like it's a little edgier on some of the other stuff, you know, but I think they're competing very well. You know, I think they've got a good product and they've got definitely... you know, raise the bar with their theming and stuff. Harry Potter stuff blows everything away. So what do you guys think? What's your take?
I would even take that a step further. I think that Disney is now trying to compete with Universal. I think Disney saw Harry Potter and went, oh.
Yeah.
So that's where Avatar Land and some of that stuff is coming in. And that's great. I mean, the more that they can bring that in, the better we all will be for it. And honestly, I mean, Be Our Guest, you know, just some of that theming that's come into Disney, I think that is the influence of Universal. And Universal just for a long time, I felt like Spider-Man was the best ride in Central Florida. The technology that they used and just the way you feel like you are in a comic book. And that is super cool to me. And so, you know, then they take that a step further with Transformers. It's almost the exact same ride. I mean, it's got a lot of the same elements.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the same track, but you're in a movie, you know, you were really inside the action. Minions is just super cute. Shrek is also very cute. They're just, everything is just stepped up. And so now I think Disney is having to up their game a little bit. And I am all for that. I think Universal does it better.
Yeah. And for everybody that complains about Disney's prices, check out Universal. I mean, they're
getting pricier.
Yeah, they raise their prices to compete, you know, because I don't think they want to be seen as the cheaper alternative. Mm-hmm. They want to be, you know, they want to compete on that scale.
Right.
And I think they do a good job of it, though. I mean, they put their money where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So what about you, Robin? What do you think is the appeal?
I think with what you're saying, the fact that it's edgier, I think that they've definitely, their service has gotten better. When we were there a few years ago, the service was sort of the service this time, and again, I was with a group of travel agents most of the time, but even the times that we weren't, the service seemed much better. And the only time that it didn't was with security, and security is a third party. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they have that much control over it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, security was kind of difficult, I will say.
Do they still make you dump out water bottles and stuff? Did Disney let you bring water bottles?
No, I didn't have to dump out a water bottle.
No, I didn't either.
No. And actually, Disney has gotten a little bit stricter with security, too, so I felt like it took longer for me to get through.
I was, like, voluntarily
picked for more screening, or would it not voluntarily, but like
randomly.
Randomly, yeah. Every time my kids thought it was the funniest thing.
Well, and I noticed they were actually pulling.
I do want to
go ahead, Mama.
I'm so sorry. I do want to just put in a little thing. I did get to experience part of their VIP, one of their VIP tours, and it was, you know, a smaller, scaled down version. It was amazing. They get you on the rides quicker. You don't have to wait in the regular lines. They have two types of VIP tours. They have a private tour for up to 7 people, which I believe at the most is at $3,000, but it can go down to, it can go down depending on when it is. And then they have one that's a group. So you could be with other people you don't know, and you let them know what you want and the other people. And so they try to put people together who like the same type of rides.
How long is that experience? Is it an all day thing, or is it
The VIP, the private one, is an all day thing, and it includes breakfast and I believe lunch. The shared one, I'm not as sure. It's a lot less expensive, and I'm not sure if it includes any meals.
Okay. So the one you did, were they getting you like water bottles and stuff?
She would have. I mean, because we were travel agents and we were just sort of like getting an idea of how they do it. But she'll pretty much, you tell them what you want. They're going to pair you with a guide that is likes the same type of things.
Oh.
But even if you have a guide that doesn't like roller coasters, if you say, oh, we want to have somebody to go with because nobody else wants to go, she will go with you.
Oh, gosh. So, but do they give you, like, little tidbits and background information on the park?
Oh, yes.
Like that? Oh, nice.
I mean, the information she gave us, she knew, we happened to get a guide that knew Harry Potter inside and out.
Awesome.
So she would sit there and she would say, okay, wait, okay, watch that. And we got background in the park. She was telling us how, you know, the fact that the horror movies is what got Universal through and what made it its money. And that if it weren't for the horror movies, Universal Studios wouldn't be there.
That must be why they embrace their Halloween thing so much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, talk about edgy, by the way.
Yeah.
If you want to have to change your shorts, do their Halloween party.
Yeah, yeah, much edgier than Disney's. Not so scary.
Yeah, it is so scary. It's the so scary Halloween party.
All right, well, on that note, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at OutlanderTravel.com, then click on Podcasts at the top of the page, and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/OutlanderPodcast, or just search for Fly Away, and you can comment there as well, or email us at info@OutlanderTravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Robin, Elizabeth, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!